Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it.
The Jamoti Podcast is powered by Sideline Interactive. Sideline Interactive is the leading manufacturer for high-quality, innovative scoring tables and LED video display boards that help coaches and schools bring more excitement to fans, create huge fundraising opportunities, and make their jobs easier. Visit sidelineinteractive.com to check out their amazing products.
So let me ask about going back to kind of PGC shooting school or a shooting college where, you know, we start with those levels 1 through 6. I kind of at faith started calling it unbroken habits. Unbroken habits lead to broken records.
Love it.
Do you still incorporate that, or have you kind of gotten away? Because each specific thing has a different form aspect to it. But I mean, maybe when you get the drops, assuming you stick with the traditional, you know, what we used to teach, I've changed things up at different levels over the years. Some of Mike Dunn's stuff I've tried to add into because the way you were holding the ball close. That's something that I think hurt me as a shooter is bringing that ball away, even with one hand shooting, instead of having it like this, what a lot of people do. Like we're like creating that.
We're creating it.
What we do is we keep it tight and we let it flow right up through. Yeah. There's that word. But like, what are you doing with level shooting like we used to?
Yeah. Great question. Let me just real quick, if I may, go back to one hand form shooting.
Yeah.
Because this is going back to what I said, I think could be like one of the most impactful 2 minutes. Coach says, we got to be a better shooting team. We're going to spend way more time on form shooting. And so let's go back to the basics. Everyone's going to do one hand form shooting. And you just made your shooters worse, not better.
Yeah.
Because you assume you have this blind spot that how shooting's taught in the fundamentals is the right way to teach it. Instead of saying, no, our objective is to make more shots. Okay, if we throw everything out the window, given our situation and our team and how we play, what's gonna help us make more shots actually? In fact, I just did a webinar on Sunday for our coaching community, kicking off a 4-week cohort where I'm going to take a group of 15 to 20 coaches through how to get their team to make more 3-pointers. The guarantee is your team makes 5 more threes a game this season if you spend these 4 weeks with me. And we're going to.
I missed the first week.
No. First week starts next week. This was just our intro to it. I'll send you something if you would like.
Please
and
do.
Basically, it's going to be like, how do you establish a shooting system that guarantees that with your team? And the system isn't technique. Right. The system is okay. How much of your practice do you dedicate to it? What are you measuring? What are you actually doing? How do you eliminate every team shooting drill that you do and turn into an individual shooting drill? Like just different things like this that over time are going to give you compound returns.
I just love how you
shared that because that's the mind shift, coaches. When you want to achieve an outcome, simplify the outcome to your objective. Don't simplify it to a drill. Don't simplify it to how you were taught or what you think the basics are. Question everything, start from zero and begin with the end in mind, and you will make much better decisions.
I'm trying to think of, because I you know me, like I think I'm in line with you and questioning things and trying to think outside the box. There's a lot of coaches that are also that way, but I would say there's probably a large portion that aren't. And when they hear you talking about dramatically changing the way that we train shooters, I wonder if there's a group of guys that just think like, I don't have time for this. My initial thought to that question is, do you care about, or do you have time to win or score more? Or do you care? I mean, like what's important to you? I mean, you have time for a shell drill for another 5 minutes, but not, but how do we get coaches? And there's still parts of me that are stubborn. I'm not all like, I'm kind of like Anakin right now. I'm not full Darth. There's a little Darth, you know what I mean? But that's weird.
I'm a Star Wars guy.
I know that.
Of course, when you said that.
Yeah. but I'm not Darth. Like Darth is you know, I'm with a little good. I think I'm a lot of good. There's a little of that fear at times that I'm, I don't know. Honestly, when I think outside the box and I try to get some things that in my mind, like you said, like it's addressing the why and it's creating a good system, creating habits that we want. But there's always a fear in me that, is this really wasting their time? Like, is this the best that we could be doing with the, like I get 43 minutes every day. Man, I can't afford to, I know we're going to make mistakes, but like repeated. So if there's coaches out there that have that fear of, I mean, I don't know if I can, I'm going to get them in lines of eight. We're going to shoot and get our rebound and rotate. That's all we do. How do those guys, I guess, the courage to make the shift?
Yeah. I would actually encourage coaches not to try and think outside the box. I would encourage coaches to actually more firmly root themselves in the box. So, and I think we're saying the same thing, but
yeah,
a lot of times, like, it's like change for change, man, I got to think outside the box. You by definition can't. The box is your mind, your experience, and your beliefs. You cannot think outside the box. Like, you can't. The only way to get outside the box is to interact with books, people, ideas that have a different experience than you. Trying to think outside the box is impossible. So
right,
don't try to. Instead, I would say trust yourself more and strip away all of the toxic like things that have infected your true beliefs. Trust yourself more, coach. I mean, every time I talk to a coach, like, you know, now that you say that, I've always actually thought that myself. And I've wanted, that happens so often, right? And
yeah,
I just, more coaches need to trust themselves more. And I love what you said about fear. You cannot make a good decision from a place of fear. You cannot make a good decision from a place of fear. But there's a family in my program where, you know, I'm having hard conversations with the parent about their child and what their child actually needs to be successful long-term. And there's some fear that's been creeping. It's like, man, this is a really good player. If I hold them accountable to our standards of attitude, I might lose this player.
No doubt.
That fear crept in, right?
Yeah.
And for a while, it caused me to compromise on our standards until it got painful. And then when it got painful, then I held the line, right? And fear caused me to make a bad decision. Once I held the line, this player changed. And oh my gosh, has it been unbelievable since once I held the line. But fear caused me to make a bad decision. And I think for coaches as well, fear makes bad. Like, you know what you want. Just strip away all the other crap because you saw this other coach doing it, or you know, you're afraid of what a parent might say if you put their child in a role or whatever. Strip it away. You have the answer inside. You really do. And your answer is always going to be the best answer. Simplify it, clarify it, and speak it more, and source everything from that principle. And you're going to be more successful without trying to get outside the box, you know, and you'll see things differently when you clear up the lens that you're looking through. You know, like, the lens can get clouded by fear. The lens can get clouded by doubt. The lens can get clouded by, you know, oh, there's this, my assistant coach really wants this. It can get clouded by all sorts of things. So I think just stay in your box, trust yourself.
I was laughing about the fact that I even used outside the box, because I thought it was our talk last time, you know, 2 years ago, where you said, I don't even have a box. I don't even. Because I thought about that quite a bit. Like, yeah, it's not necessarily outside the box. It's just figuring out. And you nailed it from the very beginning, starting at your why, figuring out what kind of, like, where do you want this team? Where do you want this player to go? And then from that, why is it? And then build those systems and standards. A lot of the, what you're just saying, it really made me think about Shawnee Harley, which I want to thank you so much for connecting us. I recorded an episode with her that by the time this one comes out, will already have been out, because I felt like it was such an important message for coaches at this time of year with the season approaching us to hear. It was probably one of, I loved our talk 2 years ago. It was hers was probably one of the most impactful that I've had that made me go home and just rethink a lot of things and dissect a lot of decisions I've made based on fear of the opinion of others, you know, but one of the things she talked about a lot was culture breakers. And so first, thank you for that, for connecting and going to the trunk and the standards. One thing she mentioned, which was really unique, was, you know, a lot of times we talk about here are our standards, and we almost just speak in the positive direction of this is how it's going to look like when they always are there and we're always adhering to them and sticking and we're not making any mistakes. She took it another way of going, you got to look more at your culture breakers, your standard. If excellence is a standard for us, in what ways do we show a lack of excellence? And what ways can excellence break down? And as soon as you said that culture comes from the standards, I think valuable exercise for us to do. And with our players, the co-creators, like you say, stakeholders, mm-hmm. is to ask them, not just here's what our standards, okay, what are the ways where this doesn't show up? Because that might help with blind spots, right?
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, I love that. And Shawnee, love her. She's been a mentor to me for nearly 20 years. And I think what you just said is a great tool. And I know this has turned into a very philosophical conversation. And, you know, I know that many coaches are like, all right, let's get practical here. And so maybe we can do this, but like, this is why it's philosophical. The very first Supreme Court justice, said this. He said, for the simplicity on this side of complexity, I wouldn't give a fig, but for the simplicity that comes on the other side of complexity, I would give my whole life. And that's really what Matt, you and I are discussing here, is like the simplicity on the other side of complexity is what we're going after. Like, we've gone through all the complexity. Like, I think I've learned as much about shooting over the last two decades as nearly anyone else in basketball. I've gone through all the complexity. So have you, right? It's been a passion of yours for so long. And now, after going through the complexity, it's coming back to this core. So shoot ball at target.
Up and at,
right?
But what about the 18 things that you wrote down?
Exactly. Up and at. We'll sample some of those 18. And that's complexity that I got in my back pocket for you. But it all comes back to simplicity. And this is what I would love to highlight about what you shared so well, and that Shawnee has challenged both of us on. The quickest way to simplify your message is to look at what you need to eliminate, right? Like the culture breakers, like eliminate. Man, I don't know what my standard should be. What do you hate? Oh, let me tell you the 20 things that I hate. Okay, that'll get you your standard. You know what I mean?
Or my neighbor's pet peeves list. That's a good place to start with standards.
It's a great place to start with standards. Yeah, you're right. And that will expose some of your own blind spots. Is like, oh, okay, this is our standard. And okay, well, what practice planning, right? That was one of your questions, you know, I wrote down. So let's get real practical. Okay. How do you practice plan? I would suggest it's as simple as 1, 2, 3. Every practice plan is as simple as 1, 2, 3. 1, what standard are you going to fight for today in practice? Right. And we just talked about how you can figure out your standards, which is, what do you hate and what do you have to eliminate? Build a standard that eliminates or requires the opposite of that thing. What standard are you going to require in practice? If you're not strengthening and upholding a standard in your practice, then everything else is wasted. Everything else is wasted because it's not improving. It's staying the same. Standards enhance whatever you're doing. Right. So let's say that you hate it when players don't talk on defense. You hate it, okay? Well, then your standard might be something like, we communicate early, loud, and often. Early, loud, and often. That's a standard. That's what we do here at this program, okay? So you have that written down. You must say that at the beginning, during and at the end of your practice. If you aren't telling them our standard is this and we're holding it up today, if you don't hold the line through everything that you're doing, even as you're working on offense or defense or shooting or what, if you don't hold the line of early, loud, and often, and if you don't measure it at the end and debrief it, whether it be self-evaluation, you evaluate, or whatever, the standard won't be strengthened. The trunk won't grow, right? So that's simple as 1, 2, 3. So plan your practice there first, okay? Second, what are the two principles that you want your team to improve on? Principles. So for our race and space offense, we have 10 principles. For our lock left defense, we have 10 principles. For our savvy shooting system, we have 5 principles. These are principles like up and at, okay? Or these are principles like race the arcs, or these are principles as like shrink the floor, right? Select only 2 principles that you want to see your team improve on in practice that day. Right. And a lot of times coaches will select from an offensive and a defensive principle, but they might select a shooting principle or a rebounding principle, or, you know, how we guard inbounds, you know, what, I don't know. Okay. 2 principles, and then make sure that everything that you're doing can get fit into those principles. So if you're selecting race the arcs as one of your offensive principles, you can get better at the day. You might do a drill on bolting, on let's get our first 3 steps, but it's in line with the principle. Remember, our principles, we have to race the arcs more. You might select something as far as, okay, we're gonna try to break out with our first couple dribbles and be our own outlet more today, because it's gonna help us race the arcs. Okay, we're gonna play a game where you have to get a shot off in the first 7 seconds, because it's gonna help us run faster, right? So it's everything you're doing is actually in line by a first, in line with a first principle too. And I have coaches start with no more than 2. 3 skills, 3 player skills that you want to identify. So, I actually have coaches build this out as part of their season planning. It's like, okay, if you were to pick 3 skills that every player on your team would improve on this season, what would they be? Limit it to 3. Now, coaches are sweating over that one, right?
That's tough.
That's tough, right? And so they end up with a list longer than 3.
I say that's tough.
Okay.
Yeah, give those to you. But well, no, but if so back to, I mean, again, I've a lot of times that when I'm having talks with other coaches, things that previous episodes and coaches have said, then they just run right. They just jot in my head. And one thing that's always come up with others is your simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. So that comes up a ton. And so I think if your system or style of play is relatively simple, then you mm-hmm. can choose those skills.
Yeah.
If you are running a ton of plays, you have 5 continuities that you bump in and out of, 18 mm-hmm. defenses, mm-hmm. obviously, unless you can see the skills that translate from thing to thing, but like if they're so dramatically different that it almost requires a completely different way of thinking about the game or approach to the game, I could see that being really, really hard.
Really hard. Really hard. So like for example, like the 3 skills that I have selected for this season for our local academy and club teams is shoot, move, and read. That's all we're focusing on. Shoot, move, and read. Okay. Can we shoot the ball better? Can we move better? And movement is offense, defense, like the best players are the best movers, period. Right. And so like, I don't care about ball handling. I care about, can you move with the ball in your hands? You know, so we're going to work on movement skills and put the ball in their hands, right? So shoot and then read. Okay, can you make reads in your player role, right? And so going back to your shooting question about like levels of shooter, do I still use that? I would say yes, and I've zoomed it out to 5 levels of player, which one part of that level informs what they should be doing from a shooting perspective as well. Like so 5 player levels, which would then inform what they should focus their development on, which would go back honestly to the same way I would develop a player. I would develop an assistant coach in the same way as well. And I'll go into it right now. So I would urge every coach to hand a note card to every player on their team and every assistant coach on their staff within the first 2 weeks of your season, what I would call your preseason. And I would urge you to hand them this note card as their player or coach development plan that you have for them. And on this note card, it's as simple as having three things: a strength, a stretch, and a roar. Roar like a lion's roar. You'll dig that.
Oh, yeah.
A stretch and a roar. And let me define each of these real quick. Strength. Play to your strengths. This is what I see as the greatest value you bring to this team and this program. And I want you to operate in your strength 90% of the time.
Are these more leadership-based or skill-based for the player?
Yes. Whatever you nice. Think is great.
Okay. Okay. So to my point, like we have one. He's going to be a junior. Could be our most dynamic offensive player. Like, I think that's the thing. They all have to lead. They all have to lead themselves well. Yes. Lead their teammates well. So that standards can't slide. So, but his strength and what our team needs from him is every team kind of has a guy, yeah. And great teams have more than a guy. Meaning, things are broken down, or this is all. He's consistent. Rarely has super low lows. Some super highs. We celebrate that. Yeah. But go ahead.
So I would say in your situation, what I would say is that's a strength. That's the greatest unique value he brings to the team. And like this cannot waver. You cannot be distracted from this. There's some other things that might drop, but not that. That's your number one priority. And he needs to know it. Your whole coaching staff needs to know it. And every player on the team needs to know it as well. Like this is what we want him to do.
Yeah.
So get rid of any frustration that he's taking too many shots, or like, you know, we're not, this is unfair, we're not being held to the same. No. This is his strength. Okay, we've decided it, right? Stretch would be, what's one thing that we want them to grow in this year that we actually want them to improve? Because otherwise they're gonna try to improve a whole bunch of stuff. And like, this is so important too. If you have players that are working with personal trainers, they need to take this note card to that trainer.
Yeah.
More
connection between the two. Bridge the gap.
Absolutely. And the reason I just did our end of season note cards for our players is because I have a bunch of players going to their high school coach right now. Right. And I said,
so they've been racing the whole summer, and now this coach can say, "Hold, walk it up. Exactly. Listen to me. Don't move now, Pat."
Exactly.
But they got to figure out how to navigate that. I tell our players, hopefully, because I will watch them play and stuff, and hopefully it's almost like a breath of fresh air coming back to us, where less control, more freedom. Anyway, keep going.
It should be. I mean, but what's really cool is we've had a couple of high school coaches reach out to me and ask if they can come watch a practice and learn. They're like, "Oh man, I love the way that this
player..." Well, what a no-brainer. If you're the coach, if it's your system, yeah, I'm going too.
You would be surprised.
Well, pride is, I think, fear. Go back to fear and pride is, if I go to this and I watch something and I like it, or it's outside my comfort zone, it's maybe sometimes easier to stay in ignorance, which is, I don't really know what they're doing, so I'm just going to stick with what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I see that.
Yeah, for sure. So they would know their stretch. And like, for assistant coaches as well, like they need to know. I'm consulting for an assistant coach, and I don't work with the head coach, because the assistant coach is like, I'm getting so frustrated. I believe in coaching. Like, I believe in my career. I need consulting. And so we work on how he, as an assistant coach, can be his best, where his head coach does not believe in the things that he does as an assistant. Right. And so like,
man, you've got to be like Jedi mind tricking that head coach every day with great suggestions. What do you think about this? Celebrating him, trying to lead him in the
every day. Right. Yeah. And what this assistant coach, and this is a challenge for all the head coaches out there. What this assistant coach is begging for from his head coach is role clarity. Like, just tell me what you want me to do. Right. Because the head coach just expects him to show up and be a part of everything. and this assistant coach doesn't know what's my role in this? Do you want to be vocal or want to be not vocal? What exactly do you want me to be saying? Like, what are we teaching? How do you want me to grow, you know, and never gets feedback. Coaches crave feedback. Clarity is kindness. Brené Brown, clarity is kindness as a head coach. And so that's what this note card is like, show up this way, right? Stretch into, I had an assistant coach that was giving constant concurrent feedback from the bench in games, right? Pass the ball to the corner, go box out, right? Like constant, right? Constant. And I, in the middle of the game, I said, you're not allowed to speak to any player on the floor the rest of the game. You need to identify what's one piece of feedback you can give a player when they come off.
Yeah.
And that's all you're doing, right? And so then when I gave him his card, that was his stretch. Eliminate concurrent feedback and think more. Stretch into that, you know? And so clarity is kindness. And that's how you lead assistant coaches, right? And then the third piece that I put in to players and coaches is what I call the roar. And I'm going to give a shout out to my man, our friend, Edward LeBlanc, who shared this idea with me. And Edward is reading a book that illustrated how lions hunt. And you might like this for your team, okay? Yeah. So how a pride of lions will hunt is they'll take like the oldest, biggest, baddest, biggest mane, scarred up, gnarliest, you know, lion in the pride, and they'll sit them at one edge of, you know, the field or the clearing where all of the prey, the antelope, are. And the lion will just sit there. Now, this is an old lion. It doesn't move very well anymore, but it looks ferocious and mean and has a big roar. And all the other, like, young, you know, fast lions will go to the other side of the clearing and hide, right? And then all of a sudden, when they're in place, the big old lion will let loose this vicious, massive roar, which will scare the gazelle, and they'll run away from the roar right into the waiting lions that will hunt them down and kill them because they're fast. Now, what the gazelle don't know is the only chance they actually had at survival was to run towards the roar and not away from it, because that's where the gaps are and that's where the lion can't move very well, right? Run towards the roar. It's what you even alluded to. It's an illustration of what you alluded to, is like your greatest fear and the most difficult thing is the obstacle that is the way to the next level. And so for me, like, the roar is, I attempt to identify the thing that's holding players back the most. And I think that's honestly the art of leadership. Yeah. And I say, hey, this is your roar this season. You got to run towards it and not away. You've been running away from it. And it's what's holding you back. And again, the answer is yes. Is this a skill thing? Like, you just haven't put in the work to tear apart your body and get in the best shape of your life. You haven't done it, you know, run towards the roar. Or is it a leadership thing? You know, you're afraid of what people think of you and you don't hold your teammates accountable. Run towards the roar. Hold your teammates accountable this season, right? Or, you know, assistant coach, you don't show up early and put in the extra time to actually get better at your craft. You just like being a part of it, right? Run towards the roar. Like, what's that thing? And so strength, stretch, and roar note card. That's how I lead an assistant coach. That's how I lead, you know, individual players. And I do it at the beginning and end of every season.
I want to celebrate you for making me feel like just a horrible head coach. But no, it's really good. I'm guilty of, my guys are part-time.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, though, this is what Shawnee did to me too. Like, it felt like it was a one-on-one therapy session for the majority of the time. Like, I just shared a bunch of crap. She just gave me her responses. And at the end of it, I was like, what did I just do? But no, with this, it's like, you do such a great job. And again, this is a gift that you have. You've always had it. But then it's also like, you've worked really hard to create these systems and this ability to make me feel like there's more that I can do. Because with my part-time guys, I think I've been hiding behind the idea of they're just coming from work. The stipend's real small. I don't want to put a lot on their plate. So I'm going to carry a lot of this. Guys, just thank you for being here. Do what you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's pretty weak. There's more that I could do for my players. I have 10-minute meetings and I do get to know them, but how clear am I with? I have one interesting question I thought about asking my guys is, do they know what they need to do to get playing time? Because I think for majority of them, they would answer that question based on what the best players do. Well, our best player, he can just flat out shoot it, handle it, and he attacks. That's what I need to do to get playing time. No, that's a lack of clarity on my part, because not everybody is going to have the same skill set or be able to do the same things. So to tell if there's not that idea, or they don't understand what their role is, what their stretch is, what their roar could be, then they're just basing it on what they think the best player has to do. And golly, I mean, you're going to just have a lot of frustration there.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.